This is file 46. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Mr. Herbert Dunce. He's going to talk about growing up in Salisbury and anything else he can remember. The date is May 21st, 2013. I will start with some basic genealogical information and we'll go on from there. May I have your name?
Herbert Dunce.
And where were you born?
Sharon, Connecticut.
And what is your birth date?
November 20th, 1928.
May I have your parents' names?
Roy Dunce, mother Abigail.
Do you know her maiden name?
It's Coombs, Abigail Coombs.
With a C?
Or yeah, a C.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one brother left. I have three brothers and a sister.
And their names?
It was Donald Dunce, Howard Dunce,
yep.
Roy Dunce,
yep.
And a half-brother. I have Newton Nickerson, his name was.
Okay.
And one sister, Irene.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school with Culpeck in the first and second.
And then?
Sharon in the third, and then Lakeville in the fourth. And that was it.
Through eighth grade at Lakeville?
Miss Nagelson was the eighth grade teacher, yeah. I went to high school for 1 year.
At the regional?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the teachers in the Lakeville school?
Yeah, Mrs. Bruno.
All right.
She was the fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Miner. Maud. There was another one.
Joe Candy?
Pardon?
Joe Candy?
Yeah, her maiden name was Bruno.
Yes.
Yeah, Mrs. Candy, yes.
And was Mrs. Eggleston the principal then?
Yes, she was.
Now, it seems to me that you told me that you've worked in many different places. And so I'm going to ask you some of the places that you worked. You worked as a plumber's helper, I think. What company did you work with?
R.C. Miller.
Where was he located?
Right in Lakeville, where Holly Block is now, where the park is. That used to be a big place.
Okay.
Drug store used to be there.
And who else?
Earl Bertrand.
I'm sorry?
Earl Bertrand.
Bertrand, okay.
He used to have his plumbing shop underneath the movie theater.
Oh, all right.
And then he went up north to Springfield, where he's come from. Then I worked at Baum and Garrity.
Mm-hmm. Where were they located?
Right in Lakeville, right by the bridge. I forgot the street number right there.
Okay. On the right or the left?
On the left. Be the first
Bostwick?
I go down the hill.
Bostwick?
Bostwick's right by the bridge area.
Okay, it would be Bostwick Street.
Yeah.
Did you have any, as a plumber's helper, did you have any technical schooling, or was it all hands-on experience?
All
hands-on.
Yeah.
Did you work for the town crew at any time?
I worked I mowed hay for him for about close to 11, 12 years. The roadside.
And it seems to me you talked about mowing the sides of the road.
That's what I did for the town.
And you liked that, didn't you?
Oh, I loved it.
Why?
Because of wildlife, wildflowers, trees, and everything, you see.
Did you do any snow plowing?
For the highway, but it took turns.
Okay. Did you have a specific route when you were mowing or plowing, or were you assigned daily whatever?
No, there was no specific route. We just went plowing. We had our own area.
Okay.
And mowing hay, I mowed all the way to Torrington, Litchfield, for the state to mow all over.
Did you work for the town crew as well as the state?
Yes.
You did both?
Yes.
Okay. How long did you work for the state?
20, 26 years.
And I think you told me that the pay scale was...
Oh, that's a dollar 10 it started with. When I got through, I was getting a fraction over $6. They base my... they take your best 3 years, mm-hmm. and they base your retirement on that.
I see.
So the most I made with the overtime was $14,000 a year.
But that included overtime?
Yeah, overtime. Okay.
Do you remember the Cedars?
I love that place. I worked down there. I caddied there when I was in about the fourth grade, all the way up to when they closed.
And they closed after World War II, didn't they? They closed in the 50s. I think they closed after the 55 flood.
I still see the daughter, one of the girls, every once in a while at a funeral or somewhere. And mm-hmm. she remembers me. She's very nice.
Mrs. Stratton or Mrs. Yarnell?
I don't know their maiden name. Her maiden name was
Oshman. Yes, it was either Marilyn or Betty Oshman.
One of the two. Yeah, they always, it seems funny that they still remember me.
Oh, no.
They're very sweet.
Oh, they're wonderful ladies.
Yeah, nice ladies.
I did an interview last summer with them about the Cedars, which was great fun. Did you do anything at the Cedars besides caddy? Did you do grounds work or?
No.
Just caddying?
Just caddying. I helped caddy, and then I shagged balls for the pro there. Yeah, I used to show people how to hold the clubs and stuff when he went to the lunch and stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Was that a 9 or an 18-hole golf course?
18. A lot of people don't know. Across the pond was another 9 holes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to play that afterwards myself, too.
Now, you told me that you, in order to make extra money for your family, you did a lot of hunting and a lot of fishing.
Trapping.
Tell me about the hunting and the trapping and the fishing. Let's start with the trapping. What kind of animals did you trap?
Well, every fur-bearing animal there was that paid any price on it. And then I'd coon out a trap during the day, and I'd coon out it during the night.
What were you getting in your traps during the day?
Oh, during the daytime, I would get raccoons, skunk, possum, muskrat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your basic. And then just at night, then I got more coon.
Which kind of animal paid the best?
At one time, they varied. Furs was up and down. At one time, a good red fox was paying $90.
For a pelt?
Yeah, one pelt.
Ooh.
$90 for a red fox. A mink, $35. You get $5 for a good rat.
What do you mean by a good rat?
Oh, I mean muskrat.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to check.
And they had to be prime. You catch them in the right time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the possum, too. I used to get, for a good silverback possum, you get $4.50. And then at the end, I was getting $54 for a big raccoon. The highest they ever paid in history.
Wow.
Yeah. $54 is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
I remember taking my wife up and had I had a picture somewhere, all the coons piled in the back of the car, and I got from out with a check. Wow.
Oh, sure. Yeah. What did they do with the pelts? Did they make them into fur coats, or?
They used to ship a lot of them over across, yeah. And it was in America, they had a lot of fur coats here one time. Everybody wore.
Oh, yes.
On the wagons, you know.
Sure.
I got a thing over there. No, I gave it to Gary. I got to get it back. It's the thing. Made a clay like you put it in the wagons and you fill it with hot water with a cork.
Oh, yes.
Keep
your feet warm.
Yeah.
Like the old brick warmers.
Yeah, brick warm.
What kind of hunting did you do?
Well, I hunted everything, duck, pheasant,
Did you do that for food or did you do it for money? Or both?
I did. I did it for food, both actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I never abused it anyway.
Oh, no.
Got what I wanted.
What about deer? Were there a lot of deer around then?
Well, they've always been. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you hunt up on Mount Riga or just locally?
I've always hunted locally. I've cooed on it up on Riga.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never And my son and stuff, they always hunted on Iraqi with different groups, you know, have a place to go. I never did. I didn't like, they don't have good food up there. They have better food down there, better eating.
Well, that's true. And that's the flesh that you want, is the better eating.
That's right. That's right.
Because their flesh depends upon what they eat. And if they eat just scrounge, they don't have a good tasting flesh.
That's right. The main thing, too, a lot of people, they get them, hot dress them right away and hang them up. So let them age about 2 weeks, I like to.
That's a long time.
That's a lot. Well, the temperature's got to be right. You have to be warm up quick. You just cut it and put it in the refrigerator in your cellar.
I see.
Put a board in between. The meat ain't supposed to touch one another.
No.
So, yeah, I think it's to work out. Very seldom I ever had to do it. But then the meat, you don't get that gamey taste. It's beautiful. It's a lot better.
Oh, my. How about fishing? Where were your fishing spots?
My favorite fish spot was on is up here, that little trout stream. Up in the Mass Line there, Sage Ravine.
Okay.
And the mountain brook up on Selick Hill, there's a little brook that runs out, comes off the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There's fish up that so far. And then the reservoir brook for trout, for native brookies.
Were they brown trout?
No, they're all native brookies.
A brook trout?
Yeah.
How big?
All 8 and 9 inches. Something.
Oh, my. That's a good size.
Yeah. One try to get the bigger brook trout.
Yeah.
And then you get up higher, you get where it's darker up there. There used to be darker ones in the darker holes and sunlight. Yeah. My son, he loved fishing. He was a great fisherman. He just loved to fish.
It's a good occupation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more finesse to it than people realize.
Yeah, there is. To catch him, you go into a brook, they're frightened. To see your shadow and stuff, they just shoot.
No, you've got to have shadow and you've got to have, like, overcast.
Yeah, and you fish up the brook, too. But they're facing up. I was facing the stream. That's what my son used. And all the old farmers did the same thing. I went with them and walked behind them and watched them fish up the brooks. Old Clay Morey. They have bullheads. We go bullheading a lot at night. They're good eating.
Mm-hmm. How about sunnies?
Pardon?
Sunnies.
I like all fish, sunnies, calicos, the bluegills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a little fish up here in Sage Ravine. They don't want nobody to catch. It's like a little sucker.
Uh-huh.
It was in the paper one time. I forgot what you call it.
It's probably protected by regulations.
Oh, it's protected, yeah.
When you were hunting or trapping, were there a lot of state regulations about the size of the animal or the gender of the animal, or was it pretty open?
It was pretty open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because now you can't shoot female deer, you can't shoot fawns, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was pretty open, yeah.
Okay. How about turkeys? Did you ever hunt turkeys?
Yeah, I hunt them. Now I feed them all year. So.
Yeah, I know.
I only hunt just a little. That's probably never.
You never abuse the privilege.
No.
And that's important.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about some people that you mentioned when we talked before. You told me a story about Jackie Holder and getting caught in a window.
Yeah.
Would you tell me that story?
Well, that was a story I was told. He lived in the lockup, just the old jailhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody moved in out back and they didn't want him there. Somebody complained, so apparently they tore it down or something. He wanted the place to get in out of the weather. And he climbed in the back window of the town hall and he got stuck in the window.
The window came down on him.
The window came down on him. Yeah, I think Lester Isaac could tell you that story too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You also mentioned Cock Robin.
Yeah.
Tell me about Cock Robin.
I didn't know much about him, except I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
I knew where he lived up there.
Where did he live?
Right up Factory Street. When you take a right to come down on the lower cobble.
Okay.
You take your right, and right there's a lot right there behind that red house.
Okay.
It burnt down. So.
And didn't he burn down?
He
burned up in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what his real name was?
No, I don't.
Everybody's called him just Cock Robin.
Yeah.
Do you know how he got that nickname?
No.
Okay.
I see Lester Hyde. I remember that. I'll ask him.
Please.
Yeah, well,
please do.
I'll find out for you.
How about Doc Leverty in the Holly Block?
I knew him.
Tell me about him.
The hockey school kids used to tease him a lot. He'd get mad. But come right down to him. He was a nice fellow if you treated him right.
Yep.
They used to, sometimes used to call him up, outside the phone, call up. He'd answer the phone, tell him the golf course was on fire. Just to irritate him.
He used to put chains on the tires of his...
In the winter, they'd leave him out all summer. You hear him when he went to work.
Oh, clank, 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 clank,
clank, clank, clank, yeah.
Yep. I remember chains. How about the barber, Paul Argel?
Yeah,
what can you tell me about him?
He was just a nice guy.
What did he look like?
Kind of a thin guy, about 5'8", 5'9", average. You know, he married a southern girl, and also he had an awful southern accent.
Ah, okay.
He had a son, too, so he was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He committed suicide.
Oh, dear.
I think that he married to the lady who lives, you know, if we check on it, my sister-in-law lives down there. You know the old schoolhouse used to be, the playground across the White House?
Yes,
there?
Yes.
The lady lives right there. She's short. She's got a bus.
Uh-huh.
I think she was married to his son.
Oh, all right. Lorraine Stevens?
No, Stevens. That's up at the end of the street. But if you come out in where the schoolhouse used to be...
Oh, all right. I know where you mean, but I don't know the lady.
Well, she's right the next drive. She walks out. She got a dog. And she's got a camper. She drives herself. She goes on vacation with it.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, she was married to Paul Argel's son. He was dying. I think he committed suicide.
Oh, dear. Mr. and Mrs. Ham, you told me about how he died.
He got hit coming home from Millerville with a truck or a car or whatever, walking the road after dark.
He was hit by a car?
A car or a truck, I don't know which, but...
He was walking.
He was walking.
Oh, dear. What business did they run?
They run a little ice cream parlor right there. It's called the Jigger Shop.
Do you know why it was called the Jigger Shop?
No.
Nobody else does either.
I
have asked as many people as I can think of, and nobody knows why it was called the Jigger Shop.
The daughter of Mrs. Ham, she was a school teacher.
She was Fran LeMoyne.
She was Fran LeMoyne. And then Mrs. Siverdale, a big tall lady with a long dress. She used to live going out of Lakeville. Up on the hill, the house is gone now, too.
Is that Maud Silvernail? Was that Maud Silvernail?
No, I know Maud Silvernail. Yeah, I think Maud Silvernail, yeah.
Okay, all right.
She lived by herself. I know she had a Dalmatian dog.
Mm-hmm.
Which growled at me one time.
Oh.
Yeah, Maud Silvernail. She used to walk down work at the Jigger Shop. That was quite a place, that little Jigger Shop. We used to lay out on the lawn. Three, four guys could play mummity peggy, you know.
Oh, sure.
And then get this little stick out.
I remember mummity peg.
Yeah.
How about Bill Rainsford?
I knew Bill. When I see him, I live right in Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
See him quite often. Yeah. I like him. He's a nice life. He was a nice fellow.
He was a judge, justice of the peace, police officer.
Yeah.
Used to play Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah, he always had on his house. You remember he had that big display up on the roof of it.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, Judge Ranchers, yeah.
Anyone else that I haven't mentioned? Lila Nash, perhaps?
I knew Lila Nash.
She worked in...
Well, he was a plumber, too, wasn't he?
I don't know.
They lived down Litchfield on Side Street there.
They lived on Boswick Street?
Yeah.
Up at the top of the hill?
Yeah.
And what did her husband do?
I thought he was a plumber.
Could be. I don't know.
I used to know what he did. But...
Now, I want to go back, and I want you to tell me about Phil Warner and the knife handle factory, please.
Uh-huh.
What kind of a man was Phil Warner?
A wonderful man.
Why was he wonderful?
Well, he gave everybody a job and Christmas present. And you could ask him for need any help. He'd help everybody out. He sold... The houses up there had about three, four houses up there for little or nothing. People lived in it for years. He was just a nice guy all around to work for. His wife, she was first selectman at one time. The old one.
What was her name? Oh. That's all right.
Okay,
I'll come up with
she
it.
She was a big woman. But she was a nice. I watched her and Bill Barnett walk in the house up here, Maury's house. Oh, Jess Maury's. They
yep.
met at the door. They were getting out pins for election.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Barnett said to Mrs. Warner, he said, the only reason you're a Democrat, you're for the underdog. That's the very words he said. I never forgot it.
True.
She said, yes, that's right, she said.
But that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be on top.
I was right there.
You're a Democrat because you're for the underdog.
Yeah,
I like that. What do you remember about Bill Barnett? Anything particular?
I know he, when I built this out clearing the land off, I met him down the street, and he shook my hand. He said, I give you credit for building the house or something.
Sure.
Now, he was selectman at that time.
He was very community-oriented.
Yeah, but I remember commending me, shaking my hand, rebuilding my house on my own.
That was a nice thing to do.
Yeah,
That was a nice thing to do. Now, the knife handle factory, what you worked there, didn't you?
Yeah, about 6 years.
And what did you do?
Just run the shapers and the saws.
Were these machines run by water power or electricity?
Electric,
at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, what were some of the things that you manufactured?
Just knife handles is all.
And what kind of...
And they made bowls, but I wasn't involved in that.
The bowls came later.
Yeah, the bowls came later. Richie Parsons made them on a different machine.
Okay.
Eight salad bowls.
Yes.
Yeah.
What kind of wood did you use?
Rosewood, Coca-Cola, and it was a grand wheel and ebony, they used to call it. I don't know.
A kind of ebony?
Yeah.
Was this wood imported from...
Yeah, it was all imported. We used to have big spiders sometimes. We'd come out and we'd get it inside the wood.
Like tarantulas?
Yes, like, but I guess they were... These ones sick or bad.
Oh.
And then we used to use a white wood, too. They used that lighter white wood for...
Holly?
For machete knives.
Hollywood is a white... A real white wood.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hollywood?
Yeah.
But they used ivory,
mm-hmm.
bone, and pearl.
Okay.
Too.
How many knife handles would you make in a day or a week?
Oh, I'd run out in a shaper. You get a little square handle, you put it in the shaper, it goes around, you got to keep grabbing the handle. You go around and we cut the shape of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had metal barrels about that big around, about that high. That was easy. Thousands.
Thousands?
Yeah. Fill that barrel up, and then that fill it rolled up, put another barrel there.
Oh, my.
Throw them in there all night, fast as you could go like that.
Were you working an eight-hour shift, or?
Eight-hour shifts.
And then after the handles were made, where did they go? Did they go down to the Holly Manufacturing Company for the blades?
No. No, I don't know where they did go, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Well, that's a mystery we'll have to solve.
Yeah.
But you did work there for 6 years. Did you, like, work from 7 to 5, or?
He had a night shift there for a while, too. He needed some more wood handles, and so 3:10, 11:40. I worked night shift for a while.
Didn't like it, though.
No, because I was going to see my girlfriend every Friday night, pay night, and I get on the shuttle bus and go to Poughkeepsie.
How many were employed there, do you know?
I had a picture, if I find out for you sometime.
I've seen a picture, and it looked like there were maybe 15 to 24.
Something like that, yeah, it's not any more than that.
So it was a small manufacturing.
Small, yeah, very small.
Were there any other businesses in that area, grist mills or...
No, it was just an old grist mill up there.
And that was the Selleck grist mill?
Yeah.
What did they grind?
I don't know about anything okay. about that.
All right. Do you know anything about the Washini woolen mill?
The woolen mill?
No. Okay. All right. But it was all electric. It wasn't water power at that point.
No.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell me about? Any good stories?
No, I don't believe there is.
Okay.
I got a piece of paper up over. Hello. Hi, how are you? You all?